John chapter 19. I invite you to turn there with me if you have your Bible this morning. And today we continue our series entitled, He Is. And did you enjoy Pastor Blake and Pastor Irvin? Man, give it up for those guys. Aren't they awesome? Didn't you enjoy them the past few weeks? I thank God for our campus pastors. Those of you that are new to Living Hope, we've got three campuses. And at all of our campuses, we have live teaching and preaching. So Pastor Blake, Pastor Irvin at our Dunbar Cave and Tylertown campuses, we sermon prep together. We work on this together. We plan out sermon series ahead of time together as the Spirit of God leads us. And it is such a joy to mentor those guys, pour into their life, and just to watch God use them in incredible ways. Isn't it exciting to have seven baptisms at Tylertown today? Come on, somebody. I mean, it's exciting. Yeah, give God a hand, man. Give him another hand. That's what it's all about. Life change. That's why we do what we do, to glorify God, see people saved, give hope, make disciples. Okay? Our series, He Is, we're playing on the I Am statements of Jesus in the Gospel of John, right? Seven I Am statements where He directly declared, I am God. I'm God in the flesh, Son of God, eternal Son of God. Whatever you need today, Jesus is. He is. And today in John 19, we're looking at the crucifixion. And specifically those last moments when Jesus was nailed to the cross and He cried out, it is finished, and gave up His spirit and died for the sins of man. And it's only through the precious shed blood of Jesus that we have any hope of forgiveness, justification, which is a legal term that means being made right with God. We deserve the judgment of a holy God. But oh, how wonderful it is to think, how amazing the grace of God that He would send His Son to take that punishment we deserve. That's what the cross is all about. The precious blood of Jesus shed is the payment for our sinfulness before a holy God. So Jesus took our place there. But aren't you glad today that we don't serve a dead Savior? We serve a risen King. He is alive right now in heaven. And that's our theme today. And that's the theme really in the crucifixion account, mostly chapter 19 in the Gospel of John, where Pilate asked Jesus, are you the King of the Jews? And right before our passage where we read today, Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. You would have no authority over me were it not given to you. And so you see this theme of Jesus being King, yet He's being crucified for us. And so King, is Jesus your King? One of my favorite movies is Braveheart. Can I get an amen? Especially from some guys here today, right? Braveheart, right? There he is, right? Mel Gibson, William Wallace. Just about every man in here is having a visceral experience right now. This is emotive, right? To watch and see William Wallace there and think back on the movie. And if you're not familiar with the movie, which most of you probably are, it's a depiction of the history of the Scottish people, winning their freedom eventually, not so much in the movie, but leading up, you know, what laid the groundwork for that. Them getting their freedom from England. King Edward I, Longshanks. Everybody say boo, right? Boo. Longshanks. And man, what a terrible king he was, and gave his lords and his officials and his cronies all these just wicked rights in the kingdom. And as they took over Scotland, they began to run amok among the people and do all kinds of immoral things and take from the people and steal from them. And so as a result, here comes William Wallace, right? And he leads the charge to win freedom from the oppressive rule of the English. And I know one who's greater than William Wallace, don't you? Come on, somebody. There is a little g god of this world, a little k king of this world named Satan, who thinks he's in charge. When you look around, it may feel like he's in charge, but Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He is coming again to set up His kingdom here. And His kingdom, as Pastor Justin said so wonderfully this morning, His kingdom is now in the hearts of the children of God. Jesus is already King. Can I get an amen on that today? He's already my King. And so I live for a different kingdom, man. That's why we're here as ambassadors, to give the hope of Jesus to others and to invite them to know Him. King. King. Jesus has already overthrown the tyrannical rule in this world of Satan and his demons. And ultimately, Satan never was really fully in charge. It's always been God's creation. And Jesus is coming again to set up His kingdom. The big question today, as we take the Lord's Supper together, there's no salvation in the Lord's Supper. There's no salvation in the bread or the cup. There's salvation only in Christ and submission to Him as King of your life. So don't misunderstand that today. Don't misconstrue that. It's not through baptism or communion or joining a church or good works or our effort or our performance by which we're made right with God. It's only through submission to Christ as King and the reception of that free gift of eternal life and becoming His child. The question today is Jesus your King? Oh, I know He's King of kings over all things. His kingdom is coming again. He's going to overthrow the very presence of sin, the tyrannical rule of sin itself in this world forever when He comes again one day. But is He King of your heart now? It's only those for whom Jesus is their King now that He will be your King and you'll be in His kingdom later. A whole lot of folks are great with a coming kingdom, with heaven. Not so many folks great with Jesus being King now of their money, their time, their attention, their focus, their worship. That's what it means that Jesus is your King, right? It's total submission to Him. And so John chapter 19, why don't we read together? We're going to read this passage, lean into it, and I'm going to move through this quickly. What we see in this passage, I want us to notice four responses to the King, Pilate, leaning into that language. Four responses. There's only one right one today. So which one of these do you identify with today? Just with honesty in our heart, which one do you identify with? Let's read together. John chapter 19, starting at verse 14. It says, "Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour." Look at your neighbor and say, "It's the sixth hour." Yeah, that's important. It's important for us to remember. We'll lean into that in just a moment. "And He said to the Jews, 'Behold your what? Your King.' And they cried out, 'Away with Him, away with Him, crucify Him.' Pilate says to them," again, he leans into it, "'Shall I crucify your what? Your King.' And the chief priest answered," what a blasphemous statement. We'll talk about this in just a moment. "'We have no king but Caesar.' So he delivered Him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and He went out, bearing His own cross, to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And there they crucified Him. With Him two others, one on either side, Jesus between them. And Pilate also wrote an inscription, put it on the cross, and it read, 'Jesus of Nazareth, the,'" what's that word again, church? Come on now. "'The King of the Jews.' Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified is near the city. It was written in Aramaic, Latin, and in Greek. The chief priest of the Jews said to Pilate, 'Don't write King of the Jews,' but rather he said, 'I am King of the Jews.' And Pilate said, 'What I have written, I have written.' And when the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took His garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also His tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, 'Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be.' This was to fulfill the scripture, which says, 'They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.'" Psalm 22, go back and read it in your personal time this afternoon or this week. Psalm 22, that description of what was happening on the cross, and in that moment, hundreds of years, prophesied hundreds of years before Christ came. So the soldiers, they did these things. Verse 25, but look at this. "But standing by the cross of Jesus were His mother, His mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw His mother and the disciple whom He loved," just a reminder, that's a reference to John himself in this book, "the disciple whom He loved were standing nearby, He said to His mother, 'Woman, behold your son.' Then He said to the disciple, to John, 'Behold your mother.' And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Now, verse 28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, he said, to fulfill the scripture, I thirst. And a jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch, held it to his mouth. And when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, it is what, church? Come on, somebody. Let's say it again. It is what? Are you grateful today if you know Jesus? It's complete. It's finished. Come on now. Salvation is done. Not about my performance. Not about what I can do. Not about how much money I give or do I have the right worship or do I say all the right words or live a perfect life. It's finished in Christ. That's the wonderful truth of the gospel. It is finished. And he bowed his head and he did what? Gave up his spirit. It was not taken from him. He willingly gave his life out of love for us. Oh, Father, today, as we partake of Lord's Supper, as we gaze at the cross, Jesus, be king in our life. Be king in our life. For that man, woman, boy, or girl for whom you are not his or her king today, save him or her. Draw him or her to yourself this morning. And Lord, for those of us for whom you are our king right now, forgive us for when we try to step in and press our desires and our expectations and try to control situations on our own. Lord, teach us today. Help us to trust in you. Just to rest in your sovereign will and plan over our lives. Oh, Jesus, we worship you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Four responses to Jesus being king. Before we look at those responses, just a few quick things in way of introduction for us. The day of preparation here, it tells us that this was the day of preparation for the Passover on the day when Jesus was crucified, on that Good Friday. That's significant because the day of preparation is the very day where they would slaughter the lambs in preparation for the Passover meal. The sixth hour. Didn't I tell you to look at your neighbor and talk about the sixth hour? That's basically noontime, middle of the day. And it was at the middle of the day that all work for Orthodox Jewish people would stop. They would begin to remove all leaven from their home, which is representative of confession of sin and removing sin from your heart and your life. And they would remove that leaven and they would begin to slaughter the lambs. So don't miss this. They've just cried, crucify him, crucify him. And those chief priests and Jews who are around immediately go to their homes to start slaughtering lambs at the very same time when Jesus is being nailed to the cross. Oh, how powerful and overwhelming the symbolism, amen, to this. And so he was crucified at the very same moment that all these lambs were being slaughtered all throughout Israel. And don't miss the picture. He is the new Exodus. What is the Passover? They celebrate the Exodus, the deliverance of slavery, right? They were delivered from slavery in Egypt. The blood of the lamb painted on the doorpost, the death angel passing over them, and they were delivered through by the mighty hand of God and his outstretched arm and hand. Today, aren't you grateful for the blood of Jesus, whereby we are set free? Hey, today, knowing Jesus, it's an exodus. Amen? Exodus. Set free. No matter what you're bound to today, God loves you right where you are, and he can set you free through his shed blood and his powerful resurrection. Just come to Jesus. Just surrender to him as your loving king today. And so the day of preparation, he is king, lamb slain for us, who on the third day rose and is now seated at the right hand of God, coming again to set up God's kingdom here for all of eternity. Is he your king today? And in this passage, we see four responses to Jesus as king. Response number one we see here is from the chief priest. It's rebellion, isn't it? Rebellion. Did you realize you can... Y'all with me today? Come on, somebody. Listen, I hadn't preached in 3 weeks. If you want to go to lunch today, you better pick it up. I'm just letting you know, okay? I'm fired up, man. I was preaching at the screen, man, with Pastor Blake and Pastor Irvin as I was watching worship with you guys the past few weeks. Listen to me. You can be religious and rebellious to God at the same time. Did you realize that? How often, children of God, we'll just get honest about it, do we just slap rebel against the will of God for our life? The very things that He has told us in His Word, the very things He has spoken to us in His, through the Spirit of God and our spirit, the very things He tells us to do, how often do we, if we get honest about it, turn our back on that and try to live our own life? Well, I don't know about you. That's a battle every day for me. Is it for you? That old flesh rising up and wanting to live my own life based on what I see around me or what my fleshly desires are. You can be religious and rebellious at the same time. Chief priest. If you know anything about the history of the chief priest, by the way, let me give you a podcast, The Forgotten Jesus by Pastor Robbie Gallaty. If you're a podcast person, you need to get on that. I'm just telling you. Great podcast. He leans into all the Hebraic, not all, but a lot of the Hebraic connections between Jesus and the Old Testament and how He fulfilled the Old Testament. It's so enlightening if you hadn't grown up in like a messianic culture or a culture connected to Hebrew way of life and understanding of the Old Testament. So if you know anything about the history of the Jewish people, the chief priests were incredibly corrupt at this time. This is not the Levitical priesthood. This is not what the Old Testament called for. In fact, the chief priests were hand chosen by the Romans once the Romans came into control. And how were they chosen? Whoever gave the most money, whoever gave the biggest bribe, ended up a chief priest. By the way, the Sadducees, you heard the Pharisees and the Sadducees? The Sadducees, who only believed in the Torah, in the five books of the law, didn't believe or see authority in the writings or the prophets of the Old Testament, and so they denied the resurrection. It was Sadducees who were the leading priests of the day. And so you've got heretics leading the temple. Not only that, if you go back and read Old Testament history, guys, don't miss it. The Ark of the Covenant is gone. There is no Ark of the Covenant in the temple of God. Temple's there. It's been rebuilt. Ark was there, but in Ezekiel's day, it was removed. And not only that, Ezekiel said the very presence of God Himself left the temple. So the chief priests had been taking the blood of a spotless lamb into an empty holy of holies. They've been playing church for centuries. Playing church. And so now, this is not just them in a moment denying Jesus. They've denied Him for centuries now. Isn't that sad? Brokenness. You can be religious and rebellious at the same time. You can be, right, playing church, but not living out the church, being the church at the same time, can't you? In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said it like this. Look at this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Does that scare anybody in here today? Come on, somebody. By the way, aren't you glad we can't lose our salvation? It is kept by the powerful blood of Jesus and His resurrection. It's kept by Him. So don't hear in this you lose your salvation. No, what Jesus is saying is, look, only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven is safe. Verse 22, on that day, the day of judgment, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Prophesy. Cast out demons, do mighty works in your name, and then I will declare, I never, what's that next word, church? It's on the screen. What does it say? I never what? Knew you. Do you know Jesus? That's what it means that He's our King. I love Him. He loves me, and I submit and surrender to His direction for my life as my pattern of life. There are times where we misstep along the way, but as a general pattern of life, it's my desire to surrender and submit to His will, those who do my will. Do you know Jesus? How many Peyton Manning fans have I got in the room? Come on, Tennessee fans. Yeah. Golden days of Tennessee. They're back, by the way. Amen. Yes, I think they're back. I hope they're back, right? So Peyton Manning, if you ask me, do I know Peyton Manning? I'd say, well, yeah, I know about Peyton Manning. Man, he played for the University of Tennessee. He's the son of the great Archie Manning, right? He was quarterback at Tennessee from 1994 to 97. And then Hall of Fame quarterback in the NFL. Played 18 seasons, 14 for the Colts, 4 for the Broncos, 5 MVP awards. He won the MVP, NFL MVP, 5 times, 2 Super Bowls. He's third all-time in passing yards and passing touchdowns. Can I get an amen? Come on, somebody. Right? That's who he is. Right? I know about Peyton Manning, but if you ever ask me, have you met Peyton Manning? I'd have to say, no. I don't know Peyton Manning. There's a whole lot of folks in the church who love Jesus like they do Peyton Manning. Know all about him, but never met him. And friend, listen to me. That's the difference in heaven and hell today. Hell is a real place of eternal torment for those who deny the free gift of eternal life from Jesus. Hell wasn't made for us. It was made for Satan and his demons. It's only those who rebel. These chief priests are religious, but they're like, I don't want Jesus. I don't want the, why didn't they believe, in the crucifixion? Isaiah 53, right? I mean, he's a suffering servant. How could they miss that? Well, the Sadducees and the chief priests didn't believe in the prophets of the Old Testament. They denied the authority of Scripture. That's another message for another day, isn't it? A whole other series. But they denied the authority of Scripture. They wanted the Bible to fit their own needs. Hey, are you here today just playing church? Just trying to live a religious life, but the truth is you don't know Jesus. Jesus said, he who is not with me is what? Against me. Man, there is no straddling the fence, right? All the cliche stuff. There is no middle ground. Okay? So today is Jesus your king. Second response. Let's keep moving. I want us to get to Lord's Supper time. Second response, expediency. That's Pilate, right? Expediency. That word expediency, just definition of that, just means comfort or convenience. He wanted to do what was politically convenient for him. His wife sent a message to him in the middle of all of the trial of the day there. In the middle of the trial, he gets this message from one of his officials, and his wife says, listen, I've had a dream about this dude. He's righteous, man. This is not just a normal guy, this Jesus guy. And so you need to be real careful with him and have nothing to do with him, was her statement. Matthew 27, you go back and read it. And so there's this sense of fear and of awe in his heart. But yet, Pilate was an astute politician, wasn't he? He was a supreme pragmatist, opportunist. On one hand, he recognized that Christ was sinless. He says all throughout this trial, he says, man, this guy's done nothing wrong. He's done nothing wrong. Shall I crucify your king? What's he doing? He's playing on the manipulation of the chief priests. He knows he's being manipulated, but because the right of corporal punishment had been taken away from the Jewish people because they're under Roman authority. All of this is in the sovereign predetermined plan of God. We talk about king today. Come on, somebody. Do you see how God orchestrated all this stuff so that Jesus would go to the cross? Had it been a Jewish execution, what would they have done? Stoned him, according to the Old Testament, for the blasphemy of calling himself the Messiah. But they didn't have that authority. They needed the Romans to do it. So Pilate knows. That's why he's teeing it up to make them say he ain't our king. And Pilate here, with all of that, yet he still desires to have political influence. He wants a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the world at the same time. Expedient. How many people come into the doors of our churches every Sunday and want a little bit of Jesus and a little bit of the world at the same time? What has faith in Christ cost us? Where there's no cost, there's no genuine faith. And it could start as simple, young people, as, I don't go to the party on the Friday night. Right? I don't go out with the individual. I don't date the individual who's not a believer, because the Bible says that's to be unequally yoked, right? So that's a problem. So now I'm not accepted in the group. I'm not as popular as everyone else. It could start as simple as that, right? In our workplace, saying that, man, I don't affirm the LGBTQ movement. I love everybody, but I can't. I'm not wearing the patch. I'm not celebrating the thing. I'm not going online and celebrating my friend coming out. Y'all okay today? Hello. Just love people, but you can't love people and love the world and the ways of the world and all that stuff at the same time. Just can't do it, man. I love you. I'm here to help you. I'm here to pray for you, but I'm not celebrating immorality. Right? I'm not living with my boyfriend or my girl. Oh, I ain't preached in 3 weeks. Oh, whoo. I'm not living with my boyfriend or girlfriend. Why? Because the Bible didn't say you shouldn't live together. It says you shouldn't have sex together. Hello. If Crystal Ann and I was in the same house before we got married, do I need to go there? Do I need to explain to you, right, how that would have been? I'm grateful that we waited. She was the one God had for me. But friends, listen, you don't live together. You don't try her out. Ladies, you're not to be tried out. You're not a pair of shoes. Come on, somebody. Expedient. Whatever's easy, whatever's comfortable, whatever's convenient, let's just do that. No. Is Jesus, listen to me, is Jesus king or not? I don't say those things today to shame you or condemn you. I say those things to challenge us. In love, God says, that's not my best for you. If you're here and you struggle with gender ideology and all these things and the pronouns and the stuff, listen, that's a real thing for a lot of folks today among our young people. Listen, come to Jesus. He made you just as you are. You full of Jesus is exactly the very purpose of your creation. More and more, I'm hearing stories of men and women who transition to the other gender, which you can't do. And now, broken lives, suicide, people trying to get out of that life. Why? Because it's broken. But let's not pick on the world today. What about you and I? Is Jesus king or not, right? Is it about convenience? The American dream, Christianity, and my expectations and my sensitivities? Or is it about Jesus? About him or not? Then expediency. It's not about doing what's convenient or comfortable. It's about whatever God's will is, and knowing that even if it's difficult in the moment, and a lot of times it is, in the long run, the incredible reward, the joy in our soul for obeying Jesus is 10 million times better than anything this world has to offer. Oh, expediency. Number three, I want to get to communion time. Third response, mockery from the soldiers. And here they are, crucifixion. Right, they take the two wood beams, the old rugged cross, and they nail spikes, huge spikes through the wrists into that horizontal beam, and then take and cross the feet and nail one huge spike right through both feet into that vertical beam of the cross, and then they stand it upright. Crucifixion. There, Jesus, suspended between heaven and earth, the great bridge. Mediator between God and man, the greatest display of the love of God ever known to mankind. The precious blood of Jesus staining that rugged wood, our only hope of eternal life. And yet there at the foot of the cross, we have the soldiers mocking him. How could you be so cold as to mock someone who's being executed? Yet here they are, mocking him, casting lots for his clothes, just making sport of Jesus and of the situation. But what's so interesting is they don't realize Psalm 22's already said they would do this. Don't miss it. These guys are mocking Jesus and God's mocking them back. He's like, do you not realize you're just puppets in the game? I said y'all are going to be doing this hundreds of years, Psalm 22, for you ever came on the scene. My God, why have you forsaken me? A quote of Psalm 22. And if you go on to read it, it starts with all my bones are showing and man, all this mockery that's taking place and I'm dying here. But at the end of Psalm 22, it talks about how he's going to rise again, how he's going to be in control over all things. It's a declaration when he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It's a declaration of Psalm 22 that, hey, it may look in this moment like I'm defeated. Oh, no, this is victory. I will rise again. And you cannot mock God. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 says this, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever one sows, this he also will, what's the word? Come on, church. Reap. What you sow, you'll reap. It goes on to say, if you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. If you sow to the Spirit, you reap eternal life. Can't mock God. I was watching or reading the news on social media this past week, and they were talking about how the Chinese Communist Party, are you tracking on this, are trying to rewrite the Bible. Not just trying, they are rewriting Scripture. And gave an example this past week of one of the Scriptures that they are rewriting, right, where Jesus and the adulterous woman, where he says, who is there that is without sin. You know, whoever's without sin, cast the first stone. And he says, who is there to condemn you? And she says, no one, Lord. He says, neither do I. Go and sin no more. Yet the Chinese Communist Party is rewriting that to say that Jesus stoned the girl in that moment. Listen, I got news for the Chinese Communist Party. You can rewrite the scripture all you want to, but you ain't changing a thing. Can I get an amen on that, somebody? Revelation 22 says, if you add to or take away from these words, you're going to get the plagues therein. Hello. By the way, how stupid is that? I mean, let's just lay it out there. There were hundreds of eyewitnesses who saw that. In other words, they're literally rewriting a history book. They're trying to rewrite actual history. That didn't happen. Yeah, it happened. And listen, you are not going to stop God. Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming again. You're just puppets in the game. It says in the last days things are going to go from bad to worse. People are going to heap for themselves teachers having itching ears, those who will speak what they want them to speak. But Jesus is going to come again riding that white horse, faithful, word of God, faithful and true. And he's going to come again and defeat all the enemies of God in this world. The question is, are you in his kingdom? Listen, you may mock God today. You ain't going to mock him tomorrow. He's either Lord now, King now, or he will be then, but then it's going to be too late. Is he King or not? Mockery, but lastly today, and we'll move to Lord's Supper time, we see loyalty. Loyalty. Ladies in the house today, men, be encouraged. Thank God for the godly leadership and ministry of ladies in the church of God. Can I get an amen on that? Come on, somebody. Isn't it awesome at the crucifixion and the resurrection? Man, it's a bunch of women. Now John is there at the crucifixion, but he's just one among five. There's four women there, Jesus' mom included. The resurrection, who are the first witnesses of the resurrection, right? It's women. And oh, the loyalty there. And so here we have them, it says, at the cross there. They're willing to take on the scorn of religion, right? Because the chief priest, now we're going to tell them you're not welcome in the temple anymore. If I see you around here, we're running you off. You over, man, over here, you know, saying this man's the Son of God and crying at his cross and his execution. Right? Scorn of religion, the shame of the world, suffering of persecution they were willing to take on just by being at the foot of the cross. They were taking on the chance that they too could be arrested, persecuted. All of those things they were willing to take on. What are we willing to suffer for the name of Christ? And right now in your job, in your neighborhood, in your family, that might not be as big a thing as it is in other places around the world. But friends, let me tell you something. There are more people being killed for the name of Christ today than in the history, any other time in the history of mankind that we know of. At least that we have recorded. We've received multiple testimonies over the past month and a half from mission partners we have, especially in Southeast Asia, talking about pastors there who are being arrested on drummed up bogus charges and thrown in jail and families threatened. Even had a couple of them killed over the past 6 weeks, simply because they're preaching Jesus in a place where government and others don't want to hear it. And I'm not here to fearmonger today or say, hey, it's just right on our doorsteps coming to America. I'm not here to try to emotionalize that, but I am here to tell you today that in the last days it says it's going to go from bad to worse. In the last days, Jesus is going to separate the sheep from the goats, Matthew 25. Now, he's going to do that at the end of the tribulation, but I wonder if that's not a picture of what the last days also are going to be like in total. Is Jesus your king or not? Because he's either going to be your king now or he will be later, but then it's going to be too late.